We begin the current daven daf gimel. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the yamid, where the gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we open up this perek, this mesechta, with the halacha of that hamevi get memdin sayam. If someone brings a get, a divorce document from a husband to a wife from overseas to Eretz Yisrael, the shliach, the agent, la halacha, who is bringing it, has to say b'fanei necht, and has to say, in front of me was written, in front of me was signed. What's the purpose of that? Machlikas Rabba and Rava. Rabba says because the Jews from overseas are not bekiyin lishma. They're not proficient in this halacha, which is integral for the halacha that the get be written specifically for this woman and not just a generic get written that is then used. Hence, he has to say, in front of me was written, and then they could verify, oh yeah, okay, so then what's written lishma, and we believe it. Whereas Rava said the reason is because we're concerned what happens if the husband comes and contests the validity of the get. Now, generally what you do is, you have then two witnesses, either the witnesses who signed in the document themselves, or others who recognize their signatures and verify, no, these are two kosher witnesses who we believe them over the husband, and therefore he's not believed. The problem is, here where it's coming from overseas, no one here in Eretz Yisrael recognizes their signatures, and the witnesses themselves are not here, they live overseas. How are we going to verify it to allow the woman to be divorced in the face of the husband's contesting the validity of the get? Because of that, we instituted the shliach to come and say, b'fanei necht, b'fanei nechtem, which, in other words, he's verifying that he saw it being signed by kosher witnesses. He is doing the verification of the witnesses. Now, the Gemara had asked regarding Rabba, and the Gemara asked a similar line of question regarding Rava, regarding this believing one person, the shliach, the agent, to verify the halacha of, where again, according to Rabba, was halacha of lishma, and according to Rava, it's the halacha of kiyum hashtar, of verification of the signatures, which validates the entire document. So the Gemara asks, according to Rava, his interpretation, why we mandate this rabbinic statement of b'fanei necht, was because, as we just explained, because there's no witnesses that are around to verify the signatures. So the only lifeline we have is this one person who he's coming from overseas. So he's going to do that kiyum hashtar. On that the Gemara asks, libo yitrei. But that should require two people, not just this one shliach. Midi dahava kiyum hashtar istiyam. Just like in general, the halacha of validating general documents requires two witnesses. Like anything that it's validating a document, you need to have two witnesses that verify it. How can we go ahead and do it through this one shliach, la halacha? And that answers the Gemara. Again, similar type of pattern as we had by Rabba. Eid echad nem bisurin. We trust and believe one witness when it comes to a prohibitory law, which, as we explained in the previous daf, how do you know the friend that you're eating by that he's serving you kosher? How do you know anything? We believe one person when it comes to prohibitory law, in conscious distinction to monetary law. So here also, we believe this one person in regards to this halacha, that this was a valid document written by two witnesses. Now that the Gemara says, wait a second. When do we say this halacha of that we trust one witness when it comes to prohibitory law, which is what this is of a married woman's status? That's kigun chaticha. That's, for example, if you have a piece of fats. Savak shel chelav, savak shel shuman. You just don't know. Is that a forbidden fats, which is called chelav, or permitted fats, which is called shuman? Where the important feature is the lo yischazak yisura. It was never established to be that we knew that this was something prohibited, and now maybe there was a change making it permitted or not. We just don't know. So then one guy comes along and he says, I know where I took this from, which part of the animal. It's permitted fats. And then we believe him. But here, there was already a presumptive status on this woman that she's prohibited because everyone knows up until now she was a married woman. Now you want to change that status. That's different than the piece of fats, which it was already forbidden, that we wouldn't necessarily say Eidech and then Bisurin. Now, moreover, Havadava Sheba Erva, here regarding this married woman, it's a matter relating to intimate relationships. Now, the halacha is that ve'ein davar she'be'erva pachas mibeis, that regarding intimate relationships, that status cannot be qualified less than two people, as we explained in the previous daf, from davar, from mammon, where just like over this is a pishnayim edim yakum davar, that two people have to verify the monetary fact. It says the same word davar by arayas, which that there also it requires two people to verify the fact. So therefore, how can you say Eidech and Embisurin over here when you want to A, change the status, which is different, And moreover, it's a davar shebe'ever, which always requires two people. So hence, how can you have this one shliach verifying the get, which is allowing this married woman to go ahead and be permitted to other people, which require two witnesses? So I think my answer is similarly how it had the pattern by Rabbah, that bedinu, the truth is, to bekim shtaris namiloy labay. Truth is, even my regular documents that have signatures, where although there is a halacha of kim shtar, which is when someone comes to contest and says, this is a forgery, so then the halacha requires that then the document has to be validated. In other words, someone has to come along. Two people, either they be the witnesses themselves who sign, or two others who recognize the signatures, and they have to validate that document, which is what the Gemara's line of questioning was originally started on and regarding Rava, that needs two people. So that answers the Gemara, that truthfully, you really don't even need to do Kimishtaris. You don't really have to validate the document. Could Rish Lakish, like Rish Lakish said, Rish Lakish said, Eidim hachasumim al hashtar. He says the truth is when you have witnesses that are signed on a document, nasu kemish nechkere dusin bebezin. Really, it's as if they already cross-questioned and verified their testimony in court. And the reason being is because a person is not really brazen usually to create a forgery. We don't have to assume that or suspect that. And even if someone comes along and contests that, really, we don't have to validate it. But it's the rabbis who require it and said, because there is such an element, there's that possibility that maybe someone forged it. So therefore, we're going to require kim shtaris. But since it's only rabbinic requirement, but here, because of the woman's status, which is, if we would require two people, as normally the rabbis do require on kim shtar, very likely she could be stuck. And the reason being is because here she has a get. But we don't know if it's a kosher get, because we only have one person here, because generally there's not two people come as agents, as shluchim, it's just one person. And if you needed two people, if the husband comes and contests, then she's going to be stuck, or even if not, we don't know if what the status of it would be. So therefore, the rabbis were lenient, and they allowed her an exception, and saying that this one person can go ahead and do what would be considered generally the Kim Hashtar. He says, I saw it being written, I saw it being signed, two kosher witnesses signed this document. Now that the Gemara asked, as it had asked on Rabbah, Hai Kulahu, that's a leniency on her? Chumruhu, it's actually a stringency. I mean, in other words, something that's going to be a liability for her. Because Di Matzuchas Leitre, had you required two people to be sent by the husband to the wife to validate the get, then Loy Osibal Ma'ar, the husband would never come in the first place to contest it. Uposalate invalidated because he's not going to be believed. We have two witnesses that brought it and already validated it. So he wouldn't even start up. Problem is, Chad Osibal Ma'ar Uposalate. But now that there's only one person that the rabbis are believing, but they're believing him in the status of one person. Now the husband could come along and say, you're one, so they believe you, but I'm also one. And we negate each other. And therefore, there's no more validity necessarily over here because you're being contradicted by me, and I'm saying that it's a forgery. So what type of a leniency is this when it's going to come out to be a liability for her, although we let it pass through with one person, but ultimately when the husband comes, she's going to be stuck. So I think my answer is, as it had answered for Rabba, then no. Kivan d'amamara, since the master says, which is brought later on, there's halacha that when the shliach brings and gives the get to the woman, he has to give it in front of other people who have to witness this giving over the get. Now, there's a machlekes regarding how many people does it have to be in front of. Between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, Charam b'fnei shnayim. One says he has to give it over in front of two people. Charam b'fnei gimel. One says he has to be in front of three people. But since he knows that he's going to have to go in front of the board when he's giving over the get, meikar meidik dayik. So originally, right when he gets the job, the position of bringing the get, he's very precise. He's not going to come to put himself in jeopardy and make himself look like a laughing stock where the husband's going to come and say, what he told him, I never sent it. He doesn't want to be in that type of position. If I'm doing my job, I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. So because of that, as we explained regarding Rabbah, A, we don't have to be concerned the husband will come and contest, because this guy definitely made sure that the husband really wants a divorce, or else he wouldn't have taken his job. And moreover, even if the husband does come and states that it's a forge, we're not going to believe him, because actually, since this guy definitely did his due diligence, we believe him over the husband, and that's why it's going to be a leniency, again, because of Iguna. Again, just like by Rabbah, we say the same thing as for Rabbah, because truthfully, you don't really even have to be Mekayim the Shtar. The Rabbanan were stringent, but because of Iguna, they were lenient and said that here the woman only has to have one person being Mekayim the Shtar and not two. So that concludes the resolution of the question that's asked on both Rabbah and Rabbah's interpretation of why you need to say Befanenech Vanenechdom. Why is it enough with one and not requiring two as you normally need, again, either because of the halacha of Lishma, which is regarding any testimony you need two, or like the way Rabbah said, because of Kim Shtar, which usually need to have two. As we explained regarding both of them, really you shouldn't need any, but the rabbis were stringent. But again, in this case, they were lenient because of Iguna. Now the Gemara asks, Rava, my time, Allah, Mikaraba, why doesn't Rava, when he has to explain the halach of our Mishnah, of why the person coming from Medina Ziyam has to say, Befanenechdom, that is because of Lishma, and instead he says the reason is because that there is no Edim Mitzu in the Kaiman. So Amalach Rava would tell you, because Mikatani, does the Mishnah say that the Shliach says, Befanenechdom Lishma, that in front of me was written for the namesake of this woman, this get, or Befanenechdom Lishma, and then in front of me was signed for her sake that the witnesses were signing for this woman? If the halacha was like Rabbah says Rabbah, then why is he just saying in front of me was written, in front of me was signed? Okay, that doesn't help us. We need to know Lishma. If the halacha was like Rabbah, it should have said Befanenechdom Lishma, Befanenechdom Lishma. Now the Gemara says, V'Rabbah, he would say, Bedinhu Delisnihachi, you're right. According to my interpretation, that's exactly what the Shliach should have said. But the reason why the Shlich doesn't say this, because if we would increase the words that he has to memorize to say, he might come to cut it off. He might not say the whole phrase, and because he's going to forget some of the words. Problem is, the Gemara tells us later on, what's called, if anyone changes the exact wording, the text that the rabbis said have to be used by Gittin, Havlad Mamzer, the child would be an illegitimate child. So that would be problematic, because if we required those six words and he left out some of the words, then that's going to be causing a huge problem. So the Gemara asks, well, Hashtanami Aslam Magazi, so here also, okay, fine. It's not Befani Nechtav Lishma, Befani Nechtav Lishma, but here also he might forget some of the words of Befani Nechtav, Befani Nechtav. What are you gaining? So the Gemara answers, no. And telling us the concept in memorization, because Chad Mitlas, one out of three words, for example, if let's say he had to say Befanenechdav Lishma, then Goyas, then sometimes he might cut off and forget, and he might only say Befanenechdav, which you run into the problem of not doing like Matpeyat Shatav HaChacham. Chad Mitarti, however, one out of two words, for example, Befanenechdav, like Goyas, a person's not going to come to cut off. And therefore, when he says Befanenechdav, then they ask him, oh, in front of you was written? Was it written Lishma? And then he says yes. Or another approach Rashi takes, which actually the Taisus, the Re on the previous daf says is a more preferred interpretation, is that no, he just said Befani Nechtav, and we assume, why is he saying in front of me was written? Okay, why does that help us? Because you're insinuating that it was written Lishma. It's just, again, we didn't mandate you to say that word Lishma, because then you might come to forget other words. So therefore, again, you have to say Befani Nechtav, Befani Nechtam, because both Ksiva and Chasima, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, are required to be Lishma. However, again, although that's actually four words, not two words, but since Befani Nechtav is its own statement and Befani Nechtam is its own statement, they're considered distinct compartments, and therefore one out of two words you're not going to forget, and that's why there's no problem. But you're right, Rabbi says you should say the word Lishma because that's the primary reason, but we didn't add that word because of him forgetting. Now the Gemara says, so that's why Rabbah doesn't learn like Rabbah, because he said it should have said Lishma. But Rabbah, my time, Alamik Rabbah, why doesn't Rabbah learn like Rabbah that the reason why you have to say Befanenechdav, Befanenechdom, is because that there's no Edim between the Kaima, and if the husband is going to contest, then there's not going to be anyone to verify it. So Amalach, so Rabbah would tell you, Im Kain, if the reason was because of Kiyum, because of verification of the document, well then Nisni Befanenechdom Besulai. Then the only thing the Shliach should have to say is not in front of me was written, but in front of me was signed. Because that's the whole purpose of signatures, who they're the ones that we have to verify its validity, where that's what would be the forgery, obviously, which is in the witnesses who are verifying it. That's all he should have to say. It says, in front of me was signed, so I know that it's valid witnesses. Why does he say in front of me it was written? What does writing have to do anything regarding it being a forgery? That doesn't say anything more than the text itself. It's the witnesses that create the validity. Shema Minah being Lishma. So therefore, Rabbi says, obviously, if you're talking about writing, it's because writing is an important feature over here because it's regards to the halach of Lishma. We have to know when it was written by the scribe. Was it written for the sake of this woman, or did he write just any Yaakov and Leah? Was it this Yaakov and that Leah? And when the witnesses signed, were they signing for this woman and this man? That's why I had to say before the Nechtav, and that's why he didn't hold like Rava. But the Rava, he would answer, you're right, Bidinu Delisnihachi. Truth is that that's the way it should have been, the halacha, that he would not have to say before the Nechtav. Ella, but what's the reason why the rabbis required him to say Osa Befanei Nechtav? It's because the Imkain, because if so, that he didn't say Befanei Nechtav, that in front of me was written, and he only said Befanei Nechtav, Asi Lachlufe Bekim Shtars Di Alma. It might come to be confused with generic confirmation and validation of documents. Because if you're only saying Befanei Nechtav, it's obvious that what is the Shliach doing over here? He's validating this document. Now, whoever sees this, he's going to think that the same thing would apply with all documents, that it's also be'eid echad, that it could also be validated with one witness. That is, if let's say one witness comes and says that I recognize the signatures, he would be believed, which is not true. We said generally, Kim Shtaras Alma needs two witnesses. It's only over here by Get that the Rabbana would make up because of Iguna. If you said only Befanei Nechtav, it might sound like regular Kim Shtaras Alma, and you might think one is enough. That's why we have to create some disparity and add on another word of Befanei Nechtav, which what does that have to do with Kim Shtaras, so that people don't confuse with Kim Shtaras Alma. Now, but Rabbi, he would respond, he says, me dummy? What do you mean? You think that the halacha, that what's happening over here with the Shliach, is comparable to regular Kim Shtaras Alma, that you are adding on the words Befanei Nechtav, that people shouldn't confuse it? Says Rabbi, what are you talking about? I'll tell you three differences, and therefore it's obviously not like you, because if it was like you, it shouldn't have to say Befanei Nechtav, because these differences itself inherently would prevent people from confusing it with Kim Shtaras Alma. Because Hasam, over there by generic validation of documents, Yadinan. What do the witnesses who are verifying the documents say? They say, we know that this is that person's signatures. Hacha befanai. Here, it's a different phraseology that they use. They don't say, oh, we know. The shliach says, in front of me was signed. So that itself already creates a disparity. Moreover, hasam ishalei mehemna, thereby regular kim shtaras diyama, which is itself a testimony in the courts, we don't believe women. Hachi isha mehemna. Here, by the shliach lo halacha, a woman is believed. In other words, if one woman comes bringing a get for her friend and she says Befanei Nechtav and Befanei Nechtav, she's believed. As the Mishnah tells us later on, the Chav Gimel Mabez, even women that are not believed to say that a woman's husband passed away because of this hatred they have for that woman, even they are believed to bring a get and say Befanei Nechtav, Befanei Nechtav. So that's another difference. Hasam, and the third difference is Baal Davar, there by regular Kim Shtaras, the litigant, the one who is producing the document, and it's his document, Loi Mehemen, he's not believed to say and verify that, oh yeah, this guy owes me money, and I saw there when the witness is signed. What do you mean? You're the guy who's trying to collect. We don't believe you. But Halcha Baal Davar Mehemen, here, the party itself is believed. In other words, if the woman herself brings her own get from Medina Sayyam, within the framework of a shliach, for example, if let's say her husband tells her, I don't want you to be divorced until you get to that court, and as long as she says Befanei Nechtav, meaning she's her own shliach for her own get, as the Mishnah tells us later on in the second parak, she's believed. So, which is usually not the case. You can't, someone who's coming to collect something, it's their document that they're producing, they're not believed regarding the validation of the get, of the shtar. We're here, the woman is believed. So says Rab, we have three differences between get and other shtars. And therefore, if the reason was like you, Rava, it shouldn't say Befanei Nechtav, because you don't need that to create disparity, because you already have in these three different areas disparity. Must be the reason is because of Lishma, and not because of Ein Eidim Mitzvah Nekayma. But on that, Rav Amalach, Rav would tell you and respond, no. Because Atu Hachal Ki Amri Yadinan says, Rava, you think over here by the get, where if let's say the witness, this shliach, or whoever it is, say that we recognize this get, meaning regarding the witnesses signed in there, Miloy Mehemni, wouldn't they be believed? In other words, as Rashi explains, since according to Rava, he holds that the reason of Befanei Nechtav was because of the validation of the chesamas, of the signatures in the get, If the shliach says, I recognize, he says the word yodeya in me, that I recognize the signatures of these witnesses, wouldn't he be believed? Because what's the difference? You're right. If he says, befonai nechtem, or yodeyani. So therefore says Rava. Since if he would say that we know, I recognize the signatures, then he would be believed. And that is, in other words, if you didn't require him to also say befanei nechtav, to differentiate between Gittin and other stars, then then you might come to confuse with generic validation of any document, which would you would think that you could be mekayim it be'ed echad with one witness, because Rav is saying that you don't have those differences that you're referencing. And specifically regarding the one of Yedeani, which you're saying that's a difference in what's being said, that Rav says you don't have that difference, because actually that by the get to, if he says Yedeani, he'd be believing that looks totally like a regular Kim Shtaris the Alma, and here it's one person doing it, people might think one person could do it. That's why you need to have in the statement that he's saying a difference where not just Befanei Nechtav, but also Befanei Nechtav. So that explains why Rabba doesn't say like Rava, and Rava doesn't say like Rabba. But now the Gemara continues, Ula Rabba Dam Lefishim Bikin Lashma, according to Rabba, that he gives the reason for this halacha of the Mishnah, where if a shlech is coming from a din of Yam Teretz Yisrael, that he has to say, in front of me was written, in front of me was signed. The reason being is because we're concerned that those in Medina Siam are not proficient in halacha of the Shema. So the question then is, Man hai Tana? So who is the Tana of our Mishnah then? The Baye Kesiva Lishma, Ubaye and Ezra Gitin Atom and Beis, Chasim Lishma, who requires not only the writing being Lishma, but also the signing being Lishma, because again, as we explained from Rabba, that's why he doesn't hold like Rava, you have to say both Befanei Nechtav, you have to mention both in front of me was written, in front of me was signed. Now, why are you saying that? Because either they're asking you or it's implicit in what you're saying that the writing was done lishma and the signing was done lishma. Who is it that requires both the writing of the text of the get and the signatures both having been intended for the sake of that specific woman who's being divorced with it? As the Gemara explains, if the town of a Mishnah would be like a mayor, who he says that the primacy of the document are the signatures, well then the signing to be lishma is bayi. That's what he would require to be verified that that was lishma. The reason being is because when it says in the Torah, v'chasav lo sefer krisis, there's a fundamental machlokes, what is the v'chasav? What does it mean that it has to be written for her a sefer krisis? Rimei learns, when it says the writing, it doesn't mean the text of the document. It actually means the writing of the signatures of the witnesses. As the Gemara tells us later on the Chavav Mabez, there's a halacha that kasav get al mechubur. That if, let's say, a document is written on something that's attached to the ground, it's going to be kosher. Why? Although that the Torah tells us v'chasav lo sefer krisis, and it says v'nasam b'yad, and he has to put in her hand, which the Gemara Darshans tells us that you can't have anything in between the writing and the giving, which excludes when you write and then detach and then give, still, it's going to be kosher. Why? Didn't you write it when it was connected? It's because it's going like Remeir that says, since you first detached it and then the witnesses signed, so obviously we see the interpretation of Remeir on the Chasav law is the writing of the signatures of the witnesses. So what Remeir holds primary, which is what v'chasav law, where we also learn that the halacha of v'chasav law lishma, what does it mean v'chasav? What is the writing that, again, A, can't have anything interposing between it and the sina, and when it says v'chasav law has to be written for her, which is the halacha that tells lishma, what is the writing? That's the signing. Kesiv aloi ba'i, but writing it lishma, that Remeir doesn't require. It's not like within the Mishnah, achav alva mebeis, that we just referenced. In Kaisvin, a person is not permitted liketchila initially to write a get b'mechubel karka on something that's attached to the ground. The reason being is because we're concerned that, again, although Remeir doesn't require the writing to be when it was detached, but if you're going to write it when it's attached, you might come to sign on it even when it's attached. And then it's going to be possible, as we just explained, which that's how the Gemara explains later on, because the chasima is the v'chasav, which can't have anything, can be kasav, katsatz, and the nasan has to go straight from writing, which again means the signing, to the giving. Now, however, kasav al mechubel lekarka, but the Mishnah does tell us, if it was written on something that was attached to the ground, but tolshoy, and then first it was detached, and then chasmai, and only then did the witnesses sign on it, then v'nasna, then it was given to her, then it's going to be kosher. So again, we see that according to Reb Meir, he doesn't hold that the pasuk v'chasav is in reference to the writing of the text. It's going on in reference to the signing of the witnesses. And therefore the question is, if the Mishnah was going like Reb Meir, only thing that should we require would, let's say, would be b'fanei nechtam, because only the signing has to be lishma. Why would we say b'fanei nechtav to also require the ksiva to be lishma? And Reb Elazar, who this is the classic machlokes in Masechtas Gittin between Reb Meir and Reb Elazar, do we say edich hasim makarti, which is what Reb Meir holds, that it's the witnesses who sign that create the creases and create the get that divorces the wife? Or like Reb Elazar, who he holds edim misira karti, it's the witnesses that witness the giving over of the get document to the woman that creates the creases. And that is because Reb Elazar holds that biblically, a get that doesn't have witnesses signed in it is actually kosher. You don't even need witnesses on the document. Now, obviously, that he holds that when it says v'chasav law, what type of a writing? It can't be the writing of witnesses, because he holds you don't even need witnesses on the document. The only witnesses you need is those who witness the giving over of the get, which is called the mesira, to the woman. So obviously it's a reference to the writing of the text itself. So then according to him, kesiva bay, only the writing of the text should require lishma, chasima le bay, but the signing of the witnesses in the document, which you don't even need biblically, but even if you do, it definitely doesn't need to be written lishma. So who is the Tanav Mishnah that requires both the ksiva and the chasima to be lishma, according to Rabbah, who is, that's why you're saying, b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam. Now the Gemara says, now, v'chi teima lo'ilim Reb Elazar hi, and if you're going to say that, no, truthfully, the Tanav Mishnah is like Reb Elazar. Now, v'chi lo'ilim Reb Elazar chasima lishma, now this, that Reb Elazar doesn't require that the signing of the witnesses in the document, which is signed on the document. But that this, Reb Elazar holds that it doesn't have to be signed lishma, that's only midrash, that's biblically, but midrabanabai, but rabbinically, Reb Elazar would agree that the witnesses have to be signed on rabbinically. And that the Gemara asks, but vashleisha gitin b'sulin, but there are three invalid types of gitin, which are mentioned in the last paragraph of Pevav Madalov. And one of them is, if there's no witnesses signed on the get, where there the whole invalidation of these gitin, even according to the Tanakhama, which is the other opinion mentioned over there, is only rabbinically a problem, because as the Gemara will shortly quote, the Mishnah there, it says, even according to the one that says it's a problem, says, imnisas, if the woman subsequently does get married with this type of a get, again, that has no witness sign in it, havlat kasher, the child will be valid, not a mamzer, meaning, because obviously, biblically, we consider her divorced, and so therefore, it's only rabbinically a problem, and still, Reb Elazar argues on that Tanakhama, and obviously he's saying that even like at Chila, she's allowed to go ahead and get married. Where so obviously we find that V'loibay Reb Elazar chasim lishma, and that Reb Elazar doesn't require the signing of the witnesses to be lishma, because he holds that even like at Chila, which obviously rabbinically would mandate like at Chila to be done the way the rabbis provide, is that obviously there's no even rabbinic invalidation regarding the witnesses signing and having them sign lishma. Because the Tanakh, like we learned in that Mishnah over there, Peivav Medalf, says that Gimel Gitin Psulim. There are three types of divorce documents that Likatchila, which means they initially going into the situation, we don't want you to use, they're pasul, they're invalid. But Vimnisis, but if the woman's even, if she subsequently gets married with this type of a get, Havlad Kasher, the child is a kosher child, not considered an illegitimate mamzer child. What are they? Kasavik Sav Yadai. If let's say the get was written with the handwriting of the husband himself, he wrote the get, but ve'ena lav eidim, there's no witnesses signed in it, which is important, this idea about no witnesses on the document. Or yesh lav eidim, there are witnesses signed on the get, but ve'en b'izman, there's no date to know when it was written. Or yesh b'izman, the third case is that there is a date, but ve'en b'ele eid echad, there's only one witness signed on the get besides the scribe, who you have his own handwriting, who he's a second person attesting to it, but there's only one written in the context of a witness. Regarding these three cases, Tanakhama says, the first opinion there says, Hare elu shleisha gitin psulim, these are three invalid gitin, but again, v'emnisa zavlat kasha, if she gets married with it, the child is going to be kasha. So obviously the Tanakhama himself, who's saying it's pasul, is only saying rabbinically it's a problem, because if it's biblically, the child would be not kasher even after the fact. Now, from the fact that, as we're going to quote, Reb Elazar argues on this, obviously he's saying that it's even liketchila kasher, Because Rabbi Lazar, he says, no. He says, Ava Pisha ain't in love Edom, even if there's no witnesses signed on the get, Elisha Nasan Lo Bifnei Edom, but rather it was only given in front of witnesses, again, which we call Edom Misira, witnesses who witness the giving over the get to the woman, kosher, the get is kosher, because again, as we explained, kosher must mean even the ketchila, because the Tanakhama says the apostle is only saying apostle the ketchila. And moreover, says Rabbi Lazar, the gaivim and the chasim mishubadim, such a type of a document can even be collected from encumbered properties, which are sold off to other people, and then you're going to your creditor and to the debtor, and he doesn't have any money. You can go even to those fields that he had sold in the interim from when he owed you the money. And the reason being is she'ena edim chayisim ala ged, because witnesses only sign on the ged elam emnei tikkun olam, only because of tikkun olam, meaning to say of the tikkun, the resolution, the rectification of the world. What does that mean in this context? That's a generic term. It means to say, because if the witnesses who witnessed the giving over of the get from the husband or the shliach to the woman, and that they die, so there's no more anyone around to verify and testify, and then it could be contested that she was never divorced. Therefore, the minug, the custom was that witnesses sign, which Rabbi Lazar agrees to sign on the get, because if the Edom Misira die, so again, you have something that will last forever, which are signatures that could be shown to other people who are two generations younger, that could at least recognize the signatures that were signed in it. But again, the most important thing that we're stressing over here is that neither can it be Rabbi Lazar to say that he requires at least the Chasima Lishma on a rabbinic level, because we prove from the Mishnah on Daf Pei Vav that not only does he not require it on a biblical level, he doesn't require even l'ketchila, even on a rabbinic level, for the Edei Chasima to have the witnesses that were signed Lishma. So the Gemara says, so v'elu remeir. So the truth is, the Tana of a Mishnah is like remeir. Now, v'chiloi boi remeir k'sivu Lishma. Now, this that we said, that remeir doesn't require the writing to be Lishma, because again, as we showed, when it says in the Pasuk B'chasav Lo, he learns that the writing means the signing of the writing of the signatures of the witnesses. So on that, the Gemara says that's Midai Raisa. As we learned, that's what the Pasuk tells us. That biblically, he says that the text doesn't have to be written Lishma. But Midrabbanan Bai, rabbinically, he does require it again, because we don't want to stop people thinking that it doesn't have to be written specifically for this woman. And so although it's only the signatures, but he requires it at least rabbinically for the ksiva to be lishma, and therefore it's the Tana of a Mishnah that rabbis explain it requires to verify the ksiva and the chasima, which is b'fanei nechtav and b'fanei nechtam, that it was written lishma, is going like Remeir. Now, however, on this interpretation, the Gemara still asks, but v'amar Rav Nachman said that Omer Remeir would say, afila mitzoi ba'ashpa, even if a husband goes and he finds a get in the garbage heap, which is, he sees, incredibly so. Wow, look at this. Same town as where I live, there's a guy with my name, and there's a woman with my wife's name, and this guy obviously was going to divorce his wife, but he changed his mind and tossed in the garbage. Says Remeir, even if this other person finds in the garbage, and as we continue on top of Dal Madala V'chosmoy, and then, so it was just a text written, the guy never went so far as to get it signed and to deliver it to his wife. If this guy goes and now he takes this document and brings it to witnesses and they sign, oh, yeah, it's your name, your wife's name, city. Okay, and they sign it, you can go ahead and use this as a get. When the son of and he gives it to his wife, kosher, it's kosher. Because, as we explained, according to Reb Meir, the ksiva doesn't have to be lishma. It's only the chasimah has to be lishma. So, therefore, the problem is that seems to tell us clearly that he doesn't need ksiva lishma on any level. Now, that the Gemara addresses. Says v'chi tema, and if you're going to say anam midai raisa kamas nina la, that this teaching of Rav Nachman was only on the biblical level in explanation of Remeir's halacha, but rabbinically, you're right, Remeir would agree that you can't really take a get out of the garbage, because although it wasn't signed yet, but the ksiva does require it to be written lishma, at least rabbinically. And that the Gemara says, how could that be? If that was the case, oy mahoy Remeir dvar taira mi baile. When Rav Nachman was saying over this teaching of Remeir, if the case was only on a biblical level, he should have added those words. Because as an Amira, he has the responsibility of explaining and elucidating that there shouldn't be any problems that would emanate of such a statement, where people could confuse and think that he's talking about on a practical level. Tanoyim, previous, their words were more terse, and it was there was more there that was not elaborated on, but regards to elucidation on the Meira, which was much later, which is who the Gemara is composed of, those Tamil Chacham should have elucidated and said that it was a biblically. So obviously the Gemara says that that statement of Reb Nachman, what he said in the name of Reb Meir, must be even rabbinically. Reb Meir does not require Ksiva Lishma. So we're back to the question, who is the Tana of a Mishnah that requires both Ksiva and Chasima Lishma? So Ella, rather the Gemara says, La'olam Reb Elazar. Truth is, the Tana of a Mishnah is Reb Elazar. Now, Chile Boy Reb Elazar Chasima, which are other gersos to add the word Lishma, that when is it that Reb Elazar did not require that the signatures even to be on the get, let alone to be Lishma, that's Heched Deleke Edim Klal. That's if there's no witnesses at all on the document. So, yes, then you don't need the element of Chasima Lishma because you don't need the witnesses in the first place. As we said, you only needed it because of Tikkun Olam. Heched De'ika Edim Boy. But interestingly, is that when there are witnesses on the document because of concern, like we said, of Tikkun Olam, because so that a woman can then verify it even after the Edim Mesira die, then it has to be signed Lishma. In other words, that when there's no witnesses signed, that's actually better than what you have over here, where then they were signed, but Shalei Lishma, because that is what's known as what's called Mizuyif Mitoichei. It's intrinsically a forgery, because the Amar Rebaba, Rebaba said, Maidir Reb Elazar b'mizuyif mitoichei, Reb Elazar agrees by mizuyif mitoichei, where inherently, intrinsically, it's a forgery, meaning, if although Reb Elazar says you don't have to sign in it, but if let's say those who signed in it are relatives or invalid witnesses, or as in the context of what we're discussing over here, they signed it shaloi lishma, they just signed it not for the sake of this woman, they were just practicing their signatures, shehu pasul, then it's actually pasul. It's actually worse off because you're creating an inherent flaw in the document. In other words, you don't need to have witnesses, but if you're putting in witnesses that are false or are relatives or did it shaloi lishma, then actually it's going to be pasul, and therefore, that's why Rabbah is saying, based on the Tana of Mishnah being Reb Elazar, that you have to say Befani Nechtav and Befani Nechtam, that the writing and the signing have to be Lishma, because although you don't need signing, let alone for the signing to be Lishma, that's only if there's no signing. If you once you're signing, it's got to be appropriate. Now, ultimately, even Reb Elazar agrees that we do sign the documents because of Tikkun Olam. Once we instituted that, then the signatures have to be Lishma. Or another a more straightforward approach, the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Yomai says, Homani, who's the town of a Mishnah? It's Rabbi Yehuda. It's not like we learned the Mishnah of Chav Alvam Adbeis, that Rabbi Yehuda Paisel, he says, a get is invalid. He holds that the word Vakasav, which again we said two halachas in our Gemara so far, one that Vakasav law means Lishma, and also Vakasav has to be then straight Vinasan, and nothing in the way, he says that both the writing of the text and the signing of the witnesses on the text have to be when it was already detached. Because if you either wrote or signed and then tore it and then gave it, you had something in the way, then that's going to be invalid. So we see that he interprets Vakasav on both Ksiva and Chasima. So therefore, Vakasav Lishma, law, is also Lishma on both Ksiva and Chasima. So the Gemara wonders, Umeikara, my time, Lord, make me like Rabbi Yehuda. So why in the beginning didn't we say straight away that the town of Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? Why do we have to go through all the effort and the back and forth and say, oh, Vechitema, and all different versions that, oh, maybe it's really Reb Meir, oh, maybe it's really Reb Elazar, no, it's not, okay, maybe it's him. Why do we have to do that if Rabbi Yehuda is clearly the one who requires Vekasav, which also means Lo Lishma, Ambo Ksiva and Chasima? So the Gemara says, Mahadrina Ay Reb Meir, the reason why we went and tried to interpret the town of a Mishnah like Reb Meir is because the Stam must need Reb Meir. Generally, when you have an anonymous Mishnah written, we say it's Reb Meir. So we tried finding a way to interpret it like Reb Meir. Now, Mahadrina Reb Elazar, and the reason why we also attempted to find it to be the Tana as Reb Elazar is because the Kaimel on Hilchas HaKavasei Begitin. The reason being is because we established the halacha like Reb Elazar in the context of Gittin, as Rashi says specifically in this halacha, that actually, even if you don't have witnesses signed on the document, it's going to be kosher, as the Gemara explains later on, Daf Pei Vav Mabeis. So therefore, since halacha regarding Ksiva and Chasima, we hold like Reb Elazar, that you don't even need Chasima, so why over here would you need to have Chasima Lishma? Since the halacha falls like him, we rather have interpreted the Mishnah over here in the beginning of Masechta is like the halacha, like Reb Elazar. So therefore we tried finding a way to show, as the first teretz in the Gemara did, that it's like Reb Elazar, where yes, you don't need to have Chasima and let alone Chasima Lishma, But if you do have it, then it has to be lishma. But again, another approach would be that it could be like Rabbi Yehuda, who, of course, it works out because he requires the kasev to be both the ksiva and the chasimah.